Good morning, everyone. It's kind of hard following behind Brother John. I think Pastor's got the order wrong here. You usually get the potatoes before you get the meat. And in this case, you're going to get the potatoes after the meat. So I appreciate Brother John. Appreciate all he does. And I know that he's very worthy, and many of you here are very worthy. I know many times I feel like that I'm not worthy at all. So with that, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. I had several people ask me this morning that I'm going to be teaching on the book of Proverbs, and I'm going to get to it, but in a kind of a roundabout way. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And this is a verse that I, several years ago, I made it a point to memorize this verse. Verse means a lot to me. And verse 23 of Colossians chapter 3, it says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto man." So what that verse tells me is when I come up here, it's supposed to be from the heart. And it's not to you, it's to the Lord. While we're on that subject, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. Ephesians 6. Now, this passage here, 5 through 9, is talking about the relationships to servants and masters. Let me start in verse 5. Ephesians 6, verse 5. "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ." Verse 6. "Not with eye service as man pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." So, verse 6, "not with eye service." I'm not up here to look good to you folks. I couldn't do that if I wanted to. We're not up here to be man pleasers. The pastor, Brother John, they're not up here to please you. They're up here to tell you what this says. Okay, but in verse 6, "not with eye service as man pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." So we're doing this as servants, not no other way. Because we're servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. All right, and verse 7 says, "with good will doing service as to the Lord, and not unto man." So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for this opportunity, Lord, just to be here, Lord. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you that you brought us to this church, Lord. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that you'll use me, Lord. And I'm not trying to give my will, but Lord, I want to give your will, Lord. We shouldn't have to pray about what we should do about when it comes to your will, Lord, because you want us to get out and tell people about you. That's your will. So we just pray, Father, that you'll be with us today, Lord, and use me, Lord, and just set myself to the side and let me preach what you have on me, or let me teach what you have laid on my heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to do a study on the book of Proverbs. But first, we're going to look at who Solomon was. Now, Solomon is the author of many of what many call the wisdom books. Anybody here know what the wisdom books are? What are the three wisdom books? It's one of them. It's two of them. Huh? Ecclesiastes. There's three books that are known as the wisdom books: Proverbs, Ecclesiastic, and Song of Solomon. So what we're going to do before I'm done here, we're going to look at the main themes of those three books. But first of all, we're going to look at Solomon. The book of Proverbs. We're going to look at Solomon's. I want you to go to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Verse 14, it says, and these, just another thing here too, folks, I'm going to butcher some of these names, so just bear with me on that. And these be the names of those that were born unto him in Jerusalem, Shamuel and Shobad and Nathan and Solomon. So we see right here in this verse that Solomon was born in Jerusalem. And then if you go back up to the verse ahead of that, verse 13, it says, and David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem after he was come from Hebron, and there were yet sons and daughters born to him. Then it goes into verse 14. So we see that King David was Solomon's father. Now go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12 in verse 24. 2 Samuel 12:24 says, and David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and laid with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. So we see that Solomon was born in Jerusalem to King David, and his mother was Bathsheba. Now, all throughout the rest of the book of 2 Samuel, you have what happened in David's kingdom, which, by the way, wasn't real good because of what David did back in 2 Samuel 5:13. Go back over there, 2 Samuel 5:13. It says, and David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem. Now, you say, what happened to him? Well, it wasn't good. What happened out through all the rest of his kingdom? The reason it wasn't good is because what he did here in verse 13, he multiplied wives. Now, I know I've heard a lot of preachers talk about that, and how that brings on a lot of trouble with having all the different in-laws, and I'm not going to go there because I'm really blessed with mine. But yes, even though David was a good man, he loved the Lord. The Lord loved him. What does the Bible say in Acts 13:22? That he was a man after God's own heart. That's who David was. Now, the trouble that he had by multiplying wives, go to Deuteronomy. Go all the way back to Deuteronomy. Chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. And verse 17. It says, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. That's why God done that. That's why God told him not to multiply wives, because they'll turn your heart away from him. Now, in this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 17, from verse 14 all the way through verse 20, there's four things God says for kings that they were supposed to do. Four things. First, they were to be chosen by God. You read that in verse 15. It says, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. So God was to choose the kings. And then he was to be an Israelite. That's the second thing. And see that in verse 15. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose, one from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. So the second thing, it was they were to be an Israelite. The third thing that they were to do, they was not to imitate royal courts of other nations and their desire to multiply horses. You see that in verse 16. But he shall not multiply horses to himself. And then in verse 17, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart not turn away. To himself silver and gold. So that's the third thing. First was to be chosen by God. Second, to be an Israelite. Third, not to imitate other nations in multiplying horses, wives, or money. Then in verse 4, the fourth thing, and you see that from 18 through 20, they were to have a copy of the law. They were to read it, and they were to obey it. That's what the kings were supposed to do according to God's laws. Now, that's what brought on all of the misery for King David. The one particular thing was multiplying wives, and he had many. Okay, that gets us all the way through the book of 2 Samuel. So let's go to 1 Kings chapter 1 now. 1 Kings chapter 1. First Kings 1:30 says, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day. So here David announces who will take his place after he passes, and it's Solomon. Then in chapter 2 of the 1 Kings, in 1 through 12, you have the final charge of David to Solomon. And we're going to read verses 1 through 4 of chapter 2 of 1 Kings. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and in his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. Verse 4. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all thy heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. So that was the final charge of King David to Solomon. And then in 1:2-13-46, through the rest of that chapter, you have the purge initiated by Solomon. He purges out David's kingdom, or his kingdom then. Then in 1 Kings 3:2-15, you have Solomon's request for wisdom. 1 Kings 3, verse 2 says, I'm going to read this. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. Verse 4, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercies, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Verse 7. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out and to come in. Now I researched that verse, excuse me, that verse a little bit. According to what I've seen, Solomon was around 20 years old at this time. And he says, but I am but a little child. Now, it's going to go on just a second, and he's going to ask for what, for wisdom to discern judgment for the people. But if he was 20 years old, how many 20-year-olds you know that would ask God for discernment? I don't know many. I know I wouldn't have. When I was 20, I wanted a hot rod. That's what I wanted, you know. And, I mean, you fill in the blank. As a 20-year-old, each and every one of you here, I don't see any, well, maybe Micah. There's a few that's under 20, maybe Caleb. But when you were 20 years old, what did you want? I mean, you fill in the blank. What he says, go to verse 8. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thus so great a people? That's pretty promising, you know, to ask God at the age of 20, if he was 20, for discernment. Not many 20-year-olds would do that, folks. I don't know of any that would do it. I mean, maybe you do. All right, verse 10. And the speech pleases the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Verse 12, behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways and keep thy statutes, law, and I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered a peace offering and made a feast to all the people. Now, that's pretty impressive, folks. You know, Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom, discernment. And then what we're going to see here, that's in 3. Then we see in 1 Kings 3:16 through 28, Solomon's display of wisdom. Now, this is pretty interesting here. What we have, and I was going to paraphrase it, but let's read it. verse 16 of chapter 3. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwelt in one day. After that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no strangers with us in the house, save we two in the house. And the woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. Probably she rolled over on it somewhere or another, smothered it, whatever. Verse 20, and she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaiden slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead son, child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. So they're arguing back and forth. No, that's my child. No, that saith, this is my son that believeth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is living. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought him a sword before the king. Now, folks, if that was your child and the king asked for a sword, it doesn't look good for that baby. Verse 25, and the king said, divide the child to the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor hers, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgments which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Pretty impressive, you know. What do you think would happen now if that happened? Oh, it'd go to court. That child would probably be in child protective services for no telling how long until they got it all hashed out. But Solomon, in his infinite wisdom, he discerned right then what to do. And what happened? The right thing happened. Okay? Now, then in 1 Kings 4, 1 through 28, you have Solomon's administration. Then in 1 Kings 4, 29 through 34, you have Solomon's fame. And I want to read 29 through 34. And it says, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sands that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom exceeded the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. And he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezraite, and Heman, and Chalco, and Darda, the sons of Mahal. And his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees from the cedar trees that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssops that springeth out of the wall. He spake of all beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth, which he had heard of his wisdom. Now, folks, the Bible says there was never one like him, and there'll never be another one like him to discern wisdom the way he did. So that gives us a little bit of a review of who Solomon was. Now, earlier I said that I want to give you the main themes of the three books of wisdom that he wrote, which was Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. Proverbs dates back to around 950 to 700 BC. The theme running throughout the book of Proverbs is wisdom for living. And you get that from verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord. Go there. Let's read that verse 7. Proverbs 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom for living, okay? Now, the specific teachings, including instructions on folly, instructions on sin, instructions on goodness, instructions on wealth, instructions on poverty, instructions on the tongue, instructions on pride, instructions on humility, instructions on justice, instructions on vengeance, instructions on strife, instructions on gluttony, instructions on love, instructions on lust, instructions on laziness, instructions on friends, instructions on family life, and instructions in death. Almost every aspect of the human relationship is mentioned in the book of Proverbs. And the teachings of the book of Proverbs is applicable to all people everywhere. Don't matter where they live, don't matter what they believe, that the teaching of Proverbs applies to them. So that's the main theme of the book of Proverbs. Now, the main theme of Ecclesiastes, I'm going to cheat a little bit. I thought this was pretty good. I have the Matthew Henry's commentary on the book of Ecclesiastes. And I want to read to you what he has to say about that. The name of this book signifies what? What is the name Ecclesiastes? What does it stand for? It says it in the first part of the book. The preacher. The name of the book signifies the preacher. The wisdom of God here preaches to us, speaking by Solomon, who it is evident was the author, at the close of his life, being made sensible of his sin and folly, he recorded here his experience for the benefits of others as the book of his repentance, and he pronounced all earthly good to be vanity and vexation of the spirit. It convinces us of all the vanity of the world and that it cannot make us happy, of the vileness of sin and its certain tendency to make us miserable. It shows that no created good can satisfy the soul, and that happiness is to be found in God alone, and this doctrine must, under the blessed Spirit's teaching, lead the heart to Christ Jesus. That's kind of the main theme of it. Okay? Now, the book of Song of Solomon dates back to about 965 B.C. The book of Solomon is a historical record of the romance of Solomon with a Shulamite woman. The snapshots in the book portrays the joys of love and courtship and marriage, the rightful place of physical love within a marriage only, and is clearly established and honored in that book. Now, in this book, we can see illustrations. Now, obviously, Solomon doesn't furnish the best example of marital devotion because of the many wives he had, but God used him. God used him in a mightily way. God, just like he used his son, his dad, King David. So God, what does that say to us? Now, I don't think there's a person here that has lived a sinless life. I know there isn't, because there was only one. But God can use people. That's what he does. You know, I was a vile sinner. I never thought I'd be up here. But God uses us. When you devote your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to use you if you'll let him. If you submit to him, he's going to use you. His will is that everybody be. There are certain things you don't need to pray about. And one of them is, do I need to go out and tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ? That's God's will. He wants everybody to share their personal relationship to somebody else. Now, you might not know all the verses to lead somebody to Christ, but you can be a good testimony. Amen. You can let them see in your life. Now, personal evangelism is important, folks. Don't get me wrong, but it doesn't stop there. You need to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ every chance you get. Now, with Solomon, I really think that Solomon, at the end of his life, regretted all the disobedience to God that he did because of what he says at the end of Ecclesiastes. Go there Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And I know a lot of people talk about this verse, and it is a good one. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. It says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." So the command to fear God is coordinated with the command to keep His commandments. They go hand in foot, indicating that true reverence towards God is to be manifested by obedience to Him. That's your whole duty in life, folks. You know, there is a lot of us here, and it seems like when you get towards the end of your life, and you realize that, you know, I didn't do enough. You know, I didn't do enough for the Lord. And I know I feel that way in many things about the Lord. You know, I could have done more. I should have spoke up when I was quiet and said something about the Lord. Just like that wreck I was a witness to. I wish I had the opportunity to talk to that young man, and I'm praying that I do. But, you know, we are all to open our mouth for Him. That's our whole duty in life. If you're a Christian, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, that's one thing you don't have to pray about. Your duty is to do His will and do His obedience. And one of the things of obedience is opening this. You know, personal advantage, you know, the way you live your life is very important. But if you don't open your mouth when you need to, and God, you know, He pricks our spirits. There's times when He, you know, He'll lay something on your heart. You need to open your mouth, you know. And when He does that, you need to take advantage of it. You might not lead that person to the Lord, but you might plant a seed in that person that somebody else will come along and pour some water on it. So, you know, we need to do that, folks. And so that, what I wanted to do, I just wanted to give you a little bit of who Solomon was. And, you know, he was a man greatly used by God. He was probably the wisest man ever lived. Looking forward to meeting him and his dad in heaven. And I know we will someday. And so that's a little bit about him. Next week, what we're going to do is we're going to get into the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. And we'll get started on that and see where God leads us. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You, Father, for Your book, Lord, and what it means to us, Lord. Us as Christians, we need to be able to go out, Lord, and the word Christian, Lord, is Christ-centered. And, Lord, we need to talk about You, and we need to open our mouths. We need to be bold witnesses for You, Lord. I think of all the examples I've had in my life of men that were bold, and women that were very bold witnesses, Lord, and wasn't ashamed, wasn't scared, whatever you want to call it, to open their mouth and proclaim Jesus. He is our way. And John 3:3, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So, Lord, help us, Father, to do Your work. Help us to go out and tell people about You, and also to have lifestyle evangelism, Lord, but to open our mouths too for You. Lord, we love You. We want to be obedient to You. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.